Welcome to Ampersand the Enigma with me, your host, Rainbow Black. And as promised, I did say that I was going to feature a radio show interview with my late auntie, Shabula Fuluki, where she talks about what the black community used to be about and what are some of the up-and-coming issues that are affecting young people, parents and the community as a whole. She's joined by three other hosts who talk about what are some of the solutions to some of these problems and what we can do as a community to change what's happening, especially in regards to knife crime and respectability, you know, bringing things back to grassroots. And what has happened to the communication within our communities? Why aren't we talking and listening to each other and working together? And is the pressure just on black mothers and black women to look after the welfare of the children coming up? Yeah, so it's a very in-depth interview and it focuses on the community based in Birmingham, which is where I grew up. So she talks about, you know, areas such as Handsworth, West Bromwich, Edgbaston, Balsall Heath. She talks about areas that were once predominantly black areas. And the demographics of those areas have changed and communities have split up and spread out. So it actually makes it harder to work together because people have moved out, moved on, even moved to different cities like myself. I have left Birmingham, but all my family is still there. But the problems still remain, and actually some of the old problems have resurfaced, such as gun crime, knife crime, carjacking, high unemployment, you know, and families are very much fragmented now. But this is not exclusive to Birmingham, this is also happening right across the UK, very noticeable in London, you know. So even though Birmingham is the second city, the problems are the same as the capital. They're experiencing the same things, the same levels of social deprivation, and it really is having a detrimental effect. We know that recently the government came up with a harebrained scheme to try and conquer knife crime by coming up with these chicken boxes. It's working in conjunction with chicken shops, which you know, drew a lot of criticism. So the idea was to have stories of people that have been affected, young people that have been affected by knife crime, printed on the inside of chicken boxes. Now, this really, I don't know who thought of this in which meeting, but it may have been sponsored by, you know, the Chicken Cottage or Morley's Chicken. These independent chicken shops that are frequented by our children, as I spoke about in the last podcast. But these initiatives are stereotypical. These initiatives will not help young people. They will eat the chicken and they will discard the boxes. It may reach some young people, but it's not the answer. It's literally a tick box exercise. And I know that independent groups have come up with their own initiatives where they're asking the public to come up with their own solutions and putting them in the inside of these boxes, and they've taken their ideas to the Home Office. So let's see what comes out of that. But really and truly, I think the solutions lie within the community and also within the young people themselves. What is fueling this knife crime? What is fueling the drug epidemic? What is fueling kids being chucked out of schools? and then filling up pupil referral units. Why are our kids dying at record proportions? Why are our kids filling up mortuaries? And really, that's what my auntie was alluding to. Why don't kids have respect when they see elders anymore? You know, what can we do differently to support young people, but also to, you know, kick the government into action rather than just coming up with these tick box exercises that are patronizing and have a racial undertone to them? Because no, black people are not just about chicken. We're not the only race that eats chicken. Granted, our kids are frequenting these places, but they're also being groomed at these chicken shops. Nobody's talking about this, how kids are lured into gang culture and into delivering drugs and ending up in county lines delivering drugs all over the world or all over the UK. And it's normally children that are vulnerable from single parent homes, you know, where there is no man present to guide them, to protect them. You know, so these are wider conversations that need to be had. So this is just a short broadcast by my auntie, her last broadcast before she passed away. And I just felt it was fitting and a very powerful interview that needs to be shared, you know, because if it reaches one person and it gets the cogs turning and we start having these very important conversations, then her work is done, her legacy continues. And that's what I would like, really. So this is why I'm sharing this interview, which was done in Birmingham on New Style Radio with my auntie Shabula Faluki. So let's get into it. Let's have a listen to what she's saying. Thank you for listening.
Why they were there, they would have to answer to us as a community.
Yes,
because
yes.
We had unity, and unity gave us strength.
Yeah.
You know, and we didn't falter. We know we had the strength behind us.
Yeah.
And Mama always say, if you're right, you got might. And with that, you know, we used to challenge the system. Mm-hmm. And that's in many other things, you know, supporting families that are bereaved, you know. We did it. You know, unfortunately, some of our children, they die bad. Mm-hmm. They don't die good. Mm-hmm. They die sad, you know, and it causes pain. And so I'm here tonight, brothers and sisters, you know, to tell you about the pain of a mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, the pain of a grandmother, you know, and for us to approach these issues that I feel that we're putting our heads down into the sand. Mm-hmm. But I'm not here to beat up my community or to say we're bad parents. I'm here to add strength and support, and hopefully by the end of this debate, we'll know where we're going, or we'll know where we're heading to. We need platforms, we need hearing space for us to air our differences. So, like I said, Brother Festus, thank you very much for having me here.
Mm. Because, you know, so when I talk, when we look back to them times, there was times when, you know, it takes a village to raise a family. And, you know, we all look out for one another. Back in those times, everybody was everybody's keeper, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody was, you know?
You know that if you went to West Bromwich and you lived in Handsworth,
mm-hmm.
and you sneezed in West Bromwich, you know, by the time you reach home, your mother know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the sort of community we used to have.
Yeah, because, to be honest, you know, back in the day, you know, if someone sees someone's children step out in the wrong way, somebody else is going to step up and say something. You understand?
Yeah.
We had that back at it where we don't need to be there, but someone's going to call you, let you know what is going on. And even as a youngster, I was scared, you know, because, you know, too tough, I can't do too much things, because I know by the time I get home, my parents are sitting down with their hands full waiting for me to come, because they already know the story.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's a double-sided coin, to be honest, because, you know, back in them days, you know, people couldn't get away with things. You get what I'm saying? There was more heart, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, people just cold-hearted, and we don't know where that come from.
I don't know. I don't know. I think we have to put money into the equation. We can't go without it, right? So we're finding that we're in demand for money. We want to have good things in our homes. Nothing wrong with that. We want to send our children off to have holidays and experience different things and wear nice clothes. Nothing wrong with that. What is wrong is, sister, we are not having a balance here. Money is a big factor where parents are not at home. They're working long hours, you know, on demand. Grandmothers, well, we know a grandmother would retire at a certain age, cock up her foot and say, I'm going to look after my grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And we are the storytellers as grandparents. We have the stories to tell and we pass these down to our children. And this is part of a bonding, but we need time to do that. So society said, grandma, you have to work so till you're dropping off. Mm-hmm. So when mommy's working all hours that she can work, and grandma is also on the work scheme, who is raising the children, you know? So yes, things have changed. Things have changed drastically. But you know, I believe with all the choices that we make in life, our children and their security is more important than running a full-time job, mm-hmm. so that we can drive a good car. Because initially, it's gonna come back to bite us. I don't say that we mustn't have nice things. Of course we must have nice things. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Mm-hmm. You know what my motto is? You know, everything that glitters isn't gold. You understand? So my motto is that, you know, at the end of the day, parenting, you know, we have these children. It's for us to, you know, to watch them grow from a young age, water them, and tell them, you know, they're big enough and stable enough to stand by themselves. Now, this is the part what is missing. Them not getting that nourishment, them not getting no water. You understand? It's like, we can't just leave it to society. You have to do your own. And as a black community, to be honest, you know, we need to work together. And as you said, you know, we need to go on the ground roots. It's not all about money and, you know, all the fancy stuff, because that not make it, you know, that not make it. Because at the end of the day, all this technology, we have no ideas. The kids, them not have no substance. You understand? All that missing.
That's right.
But yeah, but as you know, I was here listening and there was a debate on another radio station regarding the same issue.
Okay.
And basically, you know, I mean, when we were growing up as youths, we learned to respect. Mm-hmm. We had respect for our elders. We had respect for people in authority. And if we misbehave, like you said, before we got home,
yeah,
it was there, and your parents were waiting for you. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, times have changed so much that if you see these kids out there and they're stepping out of line, mm-hmm. you are questioning yourself, should I intervene?
Yes.
And that was one of the debate that was happening within the community. And people were ringing up and saying, basically, the situation is such, if they intervene, number one, these kids nowadays, they haven't got no boundary.
Yep.
So you're putting yourself on the line. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you do get a response from these kids, or the point wherein you have to maybe restrain or whatever, then you have the parents to deal with. Because mm-hmm. they're not looking at you trying to prevent something happening. Mm-hmm. They're coming down on the individual, why are you putting your hands on my kids and trying to bring the law into the mix of it? So people are saying to themselves, I just see and I don't see. And that's the sad thing about the whole situation.
You know what, I think, to be honest, in our community we need some accountability. You understand?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know what? One bad man can't walk up and down the street and terrorize the young people. You understand? Mm-hmm. That can't work. So at the end of the day, we need to come together, you know, somewhere, somehow, and, you know, sort this thing out. Because you know what? It's a generation and we are losing too much people.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And it's our own. It's not like people are coming in from outside, you know. These are our own.
So
at the end of the day, you know, if we can't build as a community and say enough is enough, done with the foolishness, then, you know, when it can't stop?
Well,
the last man stand up and the black community, black generation done.
And I think that's we have to change our mindset.
Yeah, it's a mindset.
Because people are so focused on themselves,
mm-hmm.
they can't see what's around them and what's happening. You know?
I realize that people are frightened.
Yeah.
I realize that they're very fearful of their own children that they've brought into the world.
Yeah.
I shudder to think what goes on behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
With parents and their children this day and age. I mean, I've experienced so many things recently, down to just traveling on public transport and watching all the youths then perform. And knowing that I'm an elder, and I have to ask myself if they don't see me. They're effing and blinding, and they're sucking this and sucking that, and mama's involved, mama's name in derogatory terms. But one morning, my brother, I was traveling on the bus, and I had to address it.
Yeah.
I had to address it. You know, they were doing the same thing, effing and blinding, and I had to stand up and shout, stop.
Yeah.
And I think they were shocked that I stood up and said stop. And I approached the situation by saying that I, if their mother was there, would their behavior be as bad as it was?
Yeah.
And a lot of them replied no. So I let them know that I was somebody's mother and somebody's grandmother, and I didn't appreciate those things, and I felt disrespected as an elder, you know. And I think the fear factor is there for the adults, but we have had these children, as the sister says.
Yeah.
We have got to challenge them, right? They are our future, right? And if we do not challenge them, we have no future.
You know what I'm saying? Is that it's easier said than done, because I've got some friends, seriously, in the household these days, you know, it's difficult. Yeah, and it's like sometimes I'm forming up and say, you know what, them can't manage. They pity them too much, and them are like single parents, and it is hard.
Yeah.
So it's not to say that, you know, they pity them, you know, just so they do it on the street. Them are doing it in the house too. And it's like, if you don't have no backative in your family connections, then it is hard, because then it spill up on the street, because there's no control. You understand? Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying, is that it might sound easy, the respect thing, but respect starts at home. But if there's no boundaries, then, you know, it's hard to control.
Absolutely.
So, you know,
sister.
So
I'm
it's
with
like,
you on that.
So it's like, sometimes as youths, and them don't have no strong role models, it very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a young black woman myself, you know, I've got my children, but you know what, them know the thing already. It's have a bend the tree when the tree young. You understand? So I can't look at them as an old and say, you know what, A, B, C, D, them know that from when I'm younger, so them just grow that.
Yeah.
And that's how I was brought up.
But
yeah,
you was running away from what you know.
Mm.
And I think that's part of our problem as a black society, is that we want to wear everybody's shoes, but our own.
Yep.
Now, there was nothing wrong with the way I was brought up, and we are all of a certain generation in this studio here.
Yeah.
And I feel that we can testify that a good, sturdy hand
didn't do any harm at all.
And in fact, we are very powerful, vibrant people, and we need a good steady hand, you know, to wear other people's society, what they're doing in their society. It does not fit us. And the very fact that we are drifting away from our culture, drifting away from our tradition and the things them that we know, is sending us that we are wedged a gap between us and our children.
Yeah.
We have become two different generations instead of a
generation.
Okay. Sorry, my sister, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was going
to
come in there, because you know what, as I said, it's like community center, and I have nothing for no children. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like, even though it's not happening at home, we need these centers, we need these things set up so that we can get together and, as you said, gel families together. You understand? So, you know, it's kind of hard, but, you know, as I believe, anything can turn back on.
Well, sister, them have a saying that say, if it don't break, don't fix it.
Don't fix it.
Right? Now, each family has a dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
You have your big brother first born, you know, everybody, have to respect, you don't even call them by their name. They say, Sister Jaisa,
Brother
B. You know, so we have order.
Yes.
We've always had order in our lives,
yes.
You know. I want to tell you something, sister. I'm a woman, a big woman. And in my days, then, when we get boyfriend and girlfriend, I couldn't get a boyfriend, you know. And the reason I couldn't get a boyfriend is because I have 5 big brother. And they make everybody known in the community say, you see the one there? And my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, nobody disrespect and violate the things.
Or else.
And I could not get no boy to chat to me, no matter what, you know, my friend, them have boyfriend. You know what I mean? Mm. But what that was telling me is that I was highly respected in my family. As a girl child, I was also protected.
Yeah.
My brothers had their roles to play, and they played it very well. Mm-hmm. Because I have grown up to be a very round-centered, powerful black woman with strong self-love for myself. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I don't allow anybody to take no liberty with me. Right? And I grow my children them to say, you are the center of the universe.
Yeah.
You can achieve what you will.
Yeah.
Right? Only go for it. Okay, go for it. But we are not getting those kind of talks. No, you said to me, sister, that some families don't have that backative. You know, we have siblings, we have brothers, we have sisters.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we have roles to play. I grow my children, and I have to say, I give thanks for my brothers them because of our upbringing. My brothers were there when them sister boy picnic, them come. What's going on with the youth them? May I take them go to football? We are going go-karting. Okay. We are going this. We might even just be going to the park. We are doing bonding.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Listen to me. We cannot, especially the sisters, we cannot have male roles, boy children, and grow them to a full manhood. We need help from the brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We have a thing we call the rites of passage. Mm-hmm. Right? Back in the day, if you're in the Caribbean or in the African environment, you don't just turn man so.
Mm-hmm.
You have chores. You have tasks to do before you're called a man. You have to prove that you're ready to be a father, to take somebody's girl child and make into a wife, to be part of a community. You see? So there is nothing like that rites of passage anymore. Mothers are growing the children. When the boy child reach puberty, daddy must step in.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my big concerns in our community is that, so sometimes relationships don't work. And you may finish with your partner, but guess what? You can't finish with your child.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's for life, brothers.
Life.
You understand? So somehow we have to find a way to put our little man and woman thing down for the benefit of the children. Sure. You know, I find that anytime anything happens in those circumstances, you call for daddy. Daddy can't send watch, you know, because daddy don't around the youth. Mm-hmm. And daddy don't go the youth. So the youth is like, who is who you?
Yeah,
come tell me what.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So without daddy, fathers, I know there's a lot of you out there. Let's get this thing on the scale and put it on a balance. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Good fathers out there, there with them picnic, side by side. Whether them there with the mother or not, them have them role a play. The children know, say, this is my number. You can get me anytime. Yeah, some of them all have key for them daddy yard.
Mm.
Yeah.
So when mommy get on them nerves, this is a giant thing, parenthood, and it's for life,
mm-hmm.
you know? So the brothers them have a big role to play, from the uncles, to the fathers, to the granddads,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm asking your brothers, right, to please participate. As a mother, I don't want to lose no more of our children. It's hard to hear every day that a child has stabbed another child.
Or shot another child.
Mm-hmm. I hold my belly and I ball and I roll, right? I did not bring that child forward, but that child is part of me because it's part of my community.
Mm-hmm.
And there are those of us out there, you know, that like to say, well, you know what? Now my mind, my yard, me have everything I rule. And me grow, me pick them up, and me have the support. So you know what, no? This does not affect me. But guess what?
It does.
Your children have to walk street. They have to catch bus. They have to mix and mingle with other people's children.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so it concerns us all. We're not exempt from this, none of us.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that bothers me is that we become complacent to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's abnormal, right? It's abnormal to hear our babies dying before their parents and their grandparents.
Definitely.
It's abnormal to put your child in the grave. It's abnormal to go to the hospital and identify your child on a slab. You hear me? These things are not normal. And we cannot carry on putting our head in the sand and saying that we are fearful. We have to be bold parents. We have to be mighty parents. We brought these children here.
Mm-hmm.
And there's too much things that's working against the black youth. There's mental health. There's the school system where our parents are going into school unarmed with the right information, the policies and the procedures of school. When you're going in there, you need to know them. Because if you don't, the system spins you around until you're here, he's expelled.
Thank you for listening. And if you have a view on the topic that was discussed, please send me a voicemail or leave a comment. Rate, subscribe, let us know what you're thinking. If you have anything to add, please let us know. All your views are valuable because this does affect everybody, not just the black community, society as a whole. As I said, the title of this is It Takes a Village. Society is the village. If we stop caring, then everything will remain the same or it will get worse. Yes, we know that the powers that be are bringing in more acts and more laws to try and manage what's going on with our young people, but are they the correct interventions? Who knows? But in the meantime, let's not wait on them. Let's see what we can do as elders, as parents, as mentors, as people in the community to try and change or affect what's going on. Because this is getting serious now. So thank you for listening. Please let me know your views. And we will be discussing more topics on this. Because it's not going away. Okay? Okay, peace out. Thank you for listening to Ampersand the Enigma podcast. To listen to more episodes on your favourite podcast platforms, tune in now on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Radio Republic. And you can also catch me on Apple Podcasts as well. So tune in, download the apps, and enjoy. And remember to rate and subscribe to show your support and spread the word. Thank you so much from your host, Rainbow Black.